Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Got me looking at my computer over here doing a little bit of last minute preparation, if you will. Thanks for joining us here today. And as always, just appreciate you. Appreciate all you do. I had a funny feeling this morning that when I got up, looked down at my calendar book and saw that it was the 10th day of September. September 11th become kind of a marked day, folks. So I would just say to all of you, be on your toes. September 11th, tomorrow, maybe tonight. I just wouldn't be surprised if something crazy happens. All right. So be aware of that. Know that numerology really, really means something to the dark side. And numerology is probably date, times, numbers, numerology. I think it's probably very, very significant in the spiritual realm and on God's team as well. But as a guy who's not really into witchcraft and the dark side, I can't really count myself as an expert on that area, but I just have a feeling that September 11th, keep your eye on the ball. A lot going on. Rob Pugh, heading to Rob Pugh's way today. Wisconsin, Christian News, Wisconsin, whatever. And again, my friends, it's the second time in a week that we're going to a sold-out event. And that is a tactical training event. Mike, maybe you can pull that up there. I don't know if you can or not. Off of our calendar. This is sold out, but I'm trying to impress upon you guys, anyone out there, this is where the rubber meets the road, in my opinion. Getting out and getting yourself prepared. Understand what's going on. We have Rod has that emergency preparedness and tactical training event in Wisconsin, and it is sold out. Rob told me when he first came up with after we did our hours, Rob said, "I think I'll do one too, Coach." But as we all know, it's hard to get the church involved and get people wake up and come to these types of things. So Rob was hoping to, you know how it is. Charge $59, people aren't going to come because they save that money for going to the ball game. Of course, you're running a ball game, so maybe people have money. But he sold out. Last week, Jimmy Walden in High Hill, Missouri, had 200 people sold out. We announced just this week, finally announced just this week, hours on the second, third, and part of the fourth of October here at Sky High in Ohio. We are, folks, listen to me. We have room for 50. And we reached the halfway mark of signups yesterday. We announced it the first of the week. We are already to 25. If you're going to come, don't delay. And again, as I say over and over and over, the most important thing about all of these is the fellowship. The getting to know like-minded people, gleaning off of like-minded people. David Paxton, I heard from David. You say, who's he? Well, David Paxton, when we were in Missouri with Jamie last week, David Paxton did an unbelievable training on drones. Drones. Just curious. How many of you have a drone? How many of you have any idea how to use a drone? Would a drone ever become important in your family's defense, your community's defense? And David, I believe, he told me, he said he'd love to come to our event on the second and do some drone training. So another reason to be able to come. Good fellowship, canning. Gary Donahoe's wife, she comes, she teaches us how to can. Are you guys watching what's going on at all? Are you really watching what's going on? Here in Ohio, I don't know if I have it. Yeah, Mike. I'm sorry, I got Mike jumping all over the place today. Natural News, I trust Dave Hodges. Thank you, Lord. Just let my brain work. Adams.
Mike Adams.
Mike Adams. Click on that. I saw this yesterday, and it's been out there for about 4 days, and I kind of took it with a grain of salt. So that can't be right. Well, Mike Adams comes out and says, yeah, that's right. Ohio has child quarantine camps. Centers for Disease Control has opened up FEMA camps to hold children who might have been exposed to COVID-19 right here in Ohio. Scroll down, Mike. Now, it caused quite a furor here because we didn't want to believe it. We didn't want to believe it. No. And then this whole article goes on to, yeah, Governor DeWine said, well, we're not calling them FEMA camps. And then his administrator said, no, we're not calling them. They're not really FEMA camps. But they are quarantine. So in other words, I'm not making this up, friends. It sends your kid off to school, and they do a test on him, and he has signs of COVID, and next thing you know, your little boy doesn't come home. You think I'm crazy? The Ohio Department of Health Interim Director Lance Mimes created these camps through a statewide order issued on October 31st. I'm halfway down, Mike. The order specifically pertains to children who are unable to safely self-quarantine in their place of residence. So FEMA's going to grab them for you. CDC's for the supposed purpose of isolating those diagnosed with or showing symptoms of COVID-19. So they're going to snatch them out of school, and they're going to send them off there to let Mr. FEMA take care of them. I wish it was a lie. Oh, my goodness. The three types of people who will be sent to these Ohio FEMA camps include, scroll down one more, Mike, those who test positive for COVID-19 who do not require hospitalization but need isolation. I guess they determine who that is. Those who have been exposed to COVID-19 who do not require hospitalization. And those asymptomatic high-risk individuals need social distancing as a precautionary measure. Don't worry, parents. COVID-19 concentration camps. That's the answer, isn't it? That's the answer. I'm not going to go any further in this, but folks, this is right here. And we're supposed to be a red state, aren't we? Right here. So we got to be standing up, and, you know, that's what Larry's doing. Larry, go ahead and come on in here a minute and talk a little bit about what you're trying to do. Now, Larry, don't scold anybody because they're not joined. Don't scold them. Just tell them what's going on.
Okay. We're trying to get an effort going in every community we can around the country to go and present our case at the local government, at the first level of government. And we have a plan to do it. We have some tools to help us do it. And we all want to be working off the same song sheet instead of just everybody doing their own thing and maybe doing, maybe not doing. So those who have signed up that haven't come on to one of our training, we call them phone call meetings, come on into one. It takes about 30 minutes, and we cover everything we're trying to do on the first round of what we're doing. And we're having a lot better activity, a lot better people getting active than any other volunteer thing I've ever been involved with. So the percentage of people is very good. The total number of people is not all that great yet, but it'll grow as each of us reach out for more. But the activity on the part of the people that are joining, the percentages is better than any other effort I've ever been involved with. So I want to congratulate everybody there.
Folks, I don't want you to think I'm about doom porn, okay? Just trying to scare everybody. Come on, man. This is, right here, right in our face. Right here, right in our face. And that brings me back to where I started out. How about this? Hang on. I'm going to be a grandpa again. Is that unbelievable? Isaiah and Maggie announced to us that I'm going to be a grandpa again. Praise the Lord. Blessed is this man whose quiver is full of them. So I want to play a little video, although many of you have seen this. We have 25 slots left. Okay? 25 slots left. And I want to play this video that Peter the Russian made when he was at our tactical training event last time for those of you who are maybe on the fence, to get here. Okay, go ahead and play that for me real quick, Michael. So I'd like to thank my buddy Peter the Russian who put that video together. And folks, we'd love you to be able to come. Like I said, we only got 25 slots left, and I'm going to tell you that by the end of the weekend, those slots are going to be gone. Mike, if you can go to that, the events page, because look, we have general admission tickets, we have housing alternatives, we have there's a meal ticket included and all that stuff. So you can sleep on the property. You can bring a camper. You can bring a tent. Man, we'd love for you to come and be part of it. Okay. So I'm just 10 days from now, say, oh, coach, I forgot to sign up. Come on, man, get in there and get involved. A lot of great stuff going on. And then of course, pray for what's going on up at Rob Pugh's place this weekend. And John Diamond is going to be front and center tomorrow. I'll be in Wisconsin. I'll be part of the show, but I'm going to, believe it or not, I'm going to put a mask on. I'm going to try to shut up and let John Diamond talk to us about kingdom principles and really where we're missing that whole thing. John, you have anything to add about that? What you're going to talk about tomorrow? I'm trying to put you on the spot there, bud.
No, absolutely. You know, Bible says be prepared in season and out of season. So I'm ready to drop a hat to talk about it. Yeah, we'll be picking up. I'm going to just give a brief a refresher on the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of salvation and what, you know, saints have understood throughout history. And then using that as the foundation, we'll actually look at what an ecclesia was, because you're the ecclesia, I'm the ecclesia, Rob Pugh, Mike Spaulding, Bradley Dean, Rusty Thomas, we're all the ecclesia. Even Jeffrey here lately at the city council meetings has become the ecclesia. So once we understand what it is, we'll be able to be a little more effective in our country.
Hey, man, John. Hey, Mike, pull up John 17. I got this from Samuel the other day and been pondering it for a couple of days here as well, Sam. You know, again, hey, folks, I get a lot of emails, okay? I get up every day and I look down my emails. You know what I try to do? I file them in a get to it later letter. I must see. And I'm sorry if I don't get back to some of you. I apologize to that. It's kind of overwhelming. I told my wife, wish I could put my brain in her, that she could help me do some of this work. It's pretty powerful here. I you know, Sam sent this to me. I don't know if I'd ever read this. I don't know if I had ever read this. So let's just take a minute. Let's read and focus a little bit here on John 17. These words Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, hang on there. There you go. Thanks, Mike. Said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Larry, that doesn't say everybody, does it? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gave me. I'm looking over my camera if you wonder why. I apologize for Mike, take it up a little bit higher. It helps me. I've finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Boy, there's the pre-incarnate Jesus talking to his Father. I've manifest your name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now I have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, from thee, and they have believed that you did send me. This is a personal conversation between Jesus and his Father. We need to listen in on this. I pray for them. Larry, I don't pray for the world. Folks, do you see that? Do you see that? I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours. And all are mine and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Who's he glorified in then? The one that the Lord's given to all of them. And now I'm no more in the world, But these are in the world. He left us here. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I just want to stop there, right? I just want to stop right there, man. I'm going to keep going here. Anything jump out at anybody as we're reading this? You know, I want to credit Sam because I don't know if all my Bible reading, if I ever really focused on this. I don't know if I ever really focused on this like this. I don't pray for the world. Wow. Wow. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, it's this John 17. I call that the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer he prayed to the Father. He prayed it out loud so his disciples would hear it and record it for us. The Lord's Prayer, what most people call the Lord's Prayer, that's our prayer. That's the prayer he taught us to pray.
Hmm. Scroll on up, Michael. While I was with them in the world, Jesus now talking to his Father, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I've kept. And I didn't lose any of them, except the son of perdition. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Talking about, I assume, Judas. Now I come to you, Dad, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world, Jeff, now, have hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Being of the world, meaning being produced by and being part of, as an origin, the world. We're in the world, folks, but we're not of the world. That means there's something supernatural about us that just the natural man's not able to get. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, neither can he, right? Jesus says, I didn't come from that world, and those my followers aren't a part of it anymore. Why? Because they've come into this new kingdom, John Diamond. He said, well, I went in there, and I rescued these guys, these handpicked people. I've rescued them out of that old world, and I've brought them into this new kingdom, and they're not a part of that world anymore. They're not a part of it. They're not of the world. He says, I'm not of the world. So he says, do me a favor, Dad. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I've set them apart, Dad. I'm leaving. Send the Holy Spirit. And as thou hast sent me in the world, even so I send them into the world. Tag team handoff. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. But neither I pray for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Wow. We've been commissioned. And they're going to believe on him, on what comes through our mouths, his word through our mouths, that they may all be one, as you, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You get that central focus there? Is there a oneness in the body of Christ today? Let me tell you something. There is a oneness, but we're not all connected yet. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even as you see that day approaching. We are all individual parts, drawn by the Lord, trained in the word for such a time as this. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that that you have sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Loved who? The world? Father, I will also that whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. John, he wants us with him now in his kingdom. Folks, do you see that? Do you see that? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you've given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have, and these have, that you've sent me. And I've declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's pretty powerful, isn't it, folks?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Five times in that prayer, Jesus Christ to the Father, that they may be one as we are one. That's the only thing I've found in the scriptures where it's recorded that Jesus said the same thing five times. Hmm. I think unity in the body of Christ and unity I think that is the uppermost desire of God's heart. And that is the thing that we fight, we have the hardest time with down here, because we all want to be, whatever reason it is, we have a hard time working in unity instead of trying to, never mind. It's unity is what God wants, and I'm.
So I want to tip my cap. I shouldn't do this. I'm not going to tip my cap. But you have to give credit where credit is due, and that is the fact that the devil's team sure is unified, aren't they? Can you look around you, folks, and understand how they've come in and they have stolen? They've stolen everything, stolen or destroyed everything righteous. Why? Because they have the same goal, same purpose, unified. And you look at this powerful thing called the body of Christ, get sand kicked in our faces. Can I show you why? I just came across this today, Mike. Pull up, what is it has? Which one? I'm sorry, Mike. John MacArthur down at the bottom, Mike. I got this from a friend yesterday. John MacArthur. You guys know who John MacArthur is? He's a guy now out in California who seems to all of a sudden be awake and is standing up and is becoming a hero because he's pushing back against the forces of darkness out there. They're trying to close down the church. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing, folks, but I want you, Mike, does it show the date at the top? Can you go at the top, Mike? Mine showed it. July 18th, 1993. Can somebody tell me how, I'm not real good at math. How long ago was 1993? I know, I'm seeing if you guys can do math. Come on, it's easy. It's 20 years to 2000.
27 years.
27 years ago, John MacArthur gave this sermon, The Christian's Responsibility in a Pagan Society, 1993. And I'm not going to waste your time to go down here and read it, although maybe we can put it someplace in the chat or wherever part of the show that you can see it. But John MacArthur spends, I don't know how long this sermon is, but spends a lot of time telling you to not get involved. Obey Caesar. I read it this morning. I wish I had time to read it all right now. Because it's an expose of exactly what we were talking about here yesterday. If we were to go back to the year 2000 and we knew what was going to go on in 2020, what would we do now to stop it? Stay right there, Mike. And here we are in 2020. What are we going to do to stop it in 2040? And the question I want to pose to you this morning, John MacArthur says, is how are we to respond now that our society is so pagan? How are we to react? What's a proper Christian response in a pagan culture? You guys know how powerful John MacArthur is in Christian circles, don't you? Well, Paul answers that very question in Titus 3:1-8. That is precisely the issue here. Titus, as you know, is the head, is on the island of Crete. He's there to set in order the things that remain in the churches. Scroll up a little bit, Mike, so I don't have to be looking over my microphone. There are at least 100 churches, 100 cities on this island. We don't know how many of the churches, but many. He has a very great responsibility to set the church in order to obtain ordained godly leaders against a very corrupt culture. Christians, you remember, according to chapter 1, verse 12, were basically designated by a prophet of their own as liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Unquestionably, they were engulfed in idolatry and all the excellent paganism that made up the Greek and Roman world of the time. Titus then had these churches as little pockets of righteousness in a sewer of paganism and needed to instruct them on how to react to the culture around them. Very important. Now, just a footnote, before we can read the text, I hear a lot of talk today about the church impacting culture. Coming back from Atlanta when I went to the Christian Booksellers Convention this week. Yeah, there you go. I get it now, John. I read a couple of books on the plane, and both of them had to do with confronting our culture, affecting and impacting our culture. But frankly, folks, that's not our goal. Sounds like a noble goal, and I'm sure there are people who can see certain noble aspects of it, and there may be some. Scroll up, Mike. But our goal is not to impact our culture by changing their moral values. Our goal is not to impact our culture, by creating traditional values, family values through legislation or judicial processes. Our goal is not to make sure that the United States of America adheres to a national policy that equates to biblical morality. No, that's not our goal. We're not involved in altering social morality. We're not involved in upgrading cultural conduct. No, we're interested in people being saved, John. That's our only agenda. If we're going to change our culture, we're going to have to get people saved. 27 years ago, John MacArthur. Now he's starting to speak up. What do you think, John Diamond?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's lesson four in my Americanism course. I actually pull his quote out where he talks about the American Revolution was a violation of Romans 13. And I go through that course and I show, no, absolutely not. Because when you understand the divine chain of command, it was the government that was rebelling against the God, not the colonists rebelling against the government. So, I mean, he's starting to understand it now because now he's being put in that situation. Can you say one thing about that?
He's seeing the fruit. He's seeing the fruit of it, right? He's seeing the fruit of not getting involved. Go ahead. Say what you want to say.
Yeah, he's seeing the fruit of his own teachings. And if we'd have been teaching the divine chain of command from the very beginning, I mean, this stuff wouldn't even be happening today. But Larry touched on something, and I sent you an email, Mike, over if you can pull that up real quick. He said the only thing Jesus said five times was that they would be one. Unity is number one in the heart of God. But he did say one other thing, but it was in the book of Revelation seven times. He says to them that overcome. So the Christian church, I wrote this book 10 years ago and it doesn't get any traction. Unifying the body of Christ, restoring the New Testament temple. God told me to write this when I was in Bible college about bringing the church to unity. And the church is going to come to unity. That's one of the things that's going to happen before the end comes. You study any second coming scripture, what do you see? I will separate the wheat from the tare, the sheep from the goat, the righteous from the unrighteous. There are only ever two groups when Christ comes back. And you're starting to see that now. The entire world is polarizing into two groups. And the righteous, the ones that Christ, the Father gave Christ, are Amen. Going to polarize into one group and coalesce into one group. And that's what he says about his word. His word is like a sword. A sword divides. So people like Coach and Bradley, me, you, Rod, Mike, all these people going out that are speaking the truth of God's word, it's going to divide the entire world into two groups, whether or not they love the truth or whether they love Amen. A lie. And when he Amen. Returns, there will be unity. So this is a three-book series that I wrote. Again, I wrote this. Well, look at the date, December 29, 2011. I mean, this is the pattern for unity. This is what we're going to have to get to. So I'm getting ready to start pushing this one here. But I just appreciate what Larry said there, and he brought that up. That's an absolutely spirit-led point right there.
Yeah, you know, if God answers prayer, surely he's going to answer his own son's prayer. unity will.
That's what I happen. Say in the book.
The question is,
absolutely,
will it happen? Will it happen with you or without you?
Remember
now, old McCarthy guy out there in California. It's not that he's really seeing the fruits of what he preached 20 years ago. It's the fruits of what he preached 20 years ago is affecting his bottom line now.
That's probably it. Mike, pull back up on MacArthur right where we were, if we could. You see, the church has one mission. Now, really? We are a nation of priests. And a priest had one simple function, and that was to bring people to God, to usher them into his presence. It is the only thing that we are in the world to do. Folks, 27 years ago, this malarkey has been infiltrating the churches for how long? Frankly, if people die in a communist government or democracy, it really doesn't matter if they end up in hell. No, John, it doesn't. But if they find Christ in a democracy rather than a communist government, maybe they'll make it to heaven. If they die under a tyrant or a benevolent dictator, it doesn't matter. They end up in hell. See the gospel of salvation, folks? If they die believing that homosexuality is wrong or believing that homosexuality is right and end up in hell, golly, does it matter? If they die as a policeman or a prostitute without Christ, they're going to end up in the same place. Well, of course. Is this revelatory to anybody? Whether they die moral or immoral will make no difference in their eternity. First of all, you can't, well, keep your mouth shut, Coach. If they die as a policeman or a prostitute without Christ, they're going to end up in the same place. Whether they die moral or immoral will make no difference in their eternity. Whether they stood on the side of the street with a pro-abortion rights group and screamed for legalizing and maintaining legal abortions, or on the other side of the street against abortion and screamed to stop the killing. This just makes me want to barf. If they didn't know Christ, they're going to end up in the same place, right? See, he is neglecting the idea that the environment in which people can be saved is very, very important. I cannot bake a cake in the snow. I cannot keep pop a cold in the sun. The environment matters. That isn't the issue. The issue is salvation. John, salvation only. And the sad reality is that when the church gets a moralizing, politicized, it ain't politics! Politicizing bent, it usually has a negative impact on its evangelism mission, because then it makes the people hostile to the current system and they become enemies of society rather than the compassionate friends. And if we're going to see our nation transformed, it has to be done from the inside out. That's our agenda. So we're here to preach Christ and to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. I could go on and on and on, but my blood pressure is about 952 right now. Hit 27 years ago. There it is, folks. Right there it is. Go ahead, John. I see your mic's open.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't close it from the last time. But no, what Larry said, this is the fruit of that teaching. You know, everything is about a seed. You plant a seed, and it takes many, many, many years for that thing to grow and bear fruit. And the fruit of this thing is absolutely rotten. If he'd have been sowing the right interpretation of Romans 13, and every church in California would have been doing that, they wouldn't be faced with it. But, you know, God says, I am not mocked. You'll reap what you sow. The churches in California who sat in their churches and did absolutely nothing but preach salvation, they are reaping the fruit of what they have sown.
So let me throw this out there, friends. Everybody's going back to school right now. Does it matter the environment into which you put your child? Some of you put your child into a Christian education, and some of you put him in a public school education. And both of you who do that, both sets of parents, are praying that their child will be educated in and godly morals and morality that they teach in their homes. But if you take Christ out of the schools and there's no Christian education, what do you suppose the odds are that your children are going to remain strong Christians in a pagan educational system? What do you think the odds are of that?
Or send your child to Caesar to train them, they only come back little Roman soldiers.
That's right. And so then imagine this. Some of you have been watching this show for 4.5 years. Some of you not as long. But I got to tell you this, because of the truth that we throw out on the table here and chew up and spit out, your Christian walk, I promise you this, your Christian walk is either stronger or in, what's the word I would look for, or you're in turmoil as you're trying to deal with it and deal with all the things that you've been taught. And as you submit and begin to understand what the word says, your walk becomes more and more pure. So the environment in which you live and the environment in which you work matters. How in the name of whomever can MacArthur have been so blind?
Well, Coach, if I may, going back to that John chapter 17, there's a couple of very unique things in there. This Jesus said, the name, your name, which you have given unto me, that just identifies the Trinity right there in itself. But may they be one as you and I are one. Brother, when you think about Jesus's walk on here on earth, what do you say? He says, I do nothing, least I see the Father doing it. I say nothing, least I see the Father saying it. Brother, he was so connected that he was led by the Spirit. The church right now, they're led by their emotions. They're led by their own desires. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit. They have this unity, but it's not the unity that the Father and the Son have. They have, God's going to do it because this is what I want to do.
That's right. They have a secular unity.
And that goes back to the homeschooling thing, Coach.
Yep.
If we could just glean from our founding fathers who really, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were committing treason, that they were willing to lay down their prosperity for the future posterity. Now we have we want to lay down our posterity that we might prosper. That all the excuses that I hear why I can't homeschool normally all comes down and boils down to a money thing.
It does.
Hey, Dale.
Yeah, it does. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, you said that Jesus, they may be one as you and I are one, talking about the unity of Jesus and the Father. Well, you know, in the prayer he taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us to, in our prayer, to seek that unity.
Amen. Amen. So dare I say it? John MacArthur is being hung on his own petard. It's sad, but it's consequences of a false belief. False belief. And how many thousands and thousands and thousands, maybe millions of people have adopted what we just read here on the screen. How many millions? Millions.
Okay.
Now, listen, hang on. Is John MacArthur a good man? Good Christian man? Absolutely. Good Christian man. Is he purposefully misleading people? Of course not. No, but here he is 27 years later thinking, my God, what happened here? I guess I better disobey the government here.
That's exactly it. This is a Saul encounter. And you know what? God might have just raised him and wakened him, but it's going to cost him now. Now he's going to find out what it is to truly be of the kingdom of God. And you are going to lose these things. And so, you know, kudos that he woke up, right? Most of them are still sleeping, right?
Right. Yeah, they're not coming along beside him. They're not standing with him. Hey, scroll up to the top of that again, Mike, because I think it's really important. So, I missed something there. I've glorified thee on the earth, and now I've glorified me. There you are. I've manifest thy name unto the men which you gave me. Folks, not everybody. Can't you see it? I've manifest thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Yours they were. And you gave them to me. And they've kept your word. Now they've known all things whatsoever thou hast given me come from you, Lord, Dad. For I've given unto them the words which you gave me, and they received them, and have not known surely that I came from thee, and now know surely I came from thee. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. My goodness.
Hey, Coach.
I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours, and all are mine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in and through them. I added it through. Go ahead, Jeff.
Had an interesting evening last night. I've talked about that KJ, the kid next door that's struggling, that comes over here every night wanting to hang with me and Mary Jane. He has been asking me. They just opened a new church there in East Knox. It's that story side thing. He's been like, Wednesday night, they can sit upstairs and do something in the basement. They're doing a drug thing. These so-called Christians in the church have drug problems and coming out of this and that. He wants me to come, On the way home, Mary Jane had me stop the Nazarene church because they're giving out the milk and the cottage cheese and stuff. And so I swung through there and got that. Ended up the good conversation with a leader there in the church. And he sees it. This guy gets it. He said, our pastor's not even out here. He should be out here. So we had a good conversation. I had prayer with him. He invited me to come back tomorrow. He said, my pastor's going to be here tomorrow. Will you stop in and see him? I said, buddy, I will be here. So then I come home, pull in the driveway. KJ comes running over. Now it's like double whammy. KJ comes over knocking on the door. Hey, are you coming? I'm like, I wasn't going to. I was going to stay home, do some yard work. So I went. I walked into this thing in the basement of this church. Now, they're all supposed to be Christian. And I carry my Bible. I'm the only one in there with a Bible. They walk in and look at me like, who is this guy? So I introduce myself and we talk. And they're running it like an AA meeting or an Al-Anon. They're reading out of a 12-step book. All of them are complaining about how terrible their week was, angry, wanted to punch somebody in the mouth, blah, 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 blah. I let them start like that. And then I started in with iron sharpens iron. We men got to hold men accountable and the Holy Spirit and this and that. I'm telling you, the one guy that was leading the group, he looked at me like, would you please leave? You know what I mean? Yeah. But KJ was so proud to sit there. I said, listen, I'm worried about this young man's soul. He's 15. They're treating him like a boy and he needs to become a man. And we went through some stuff. Now, there was one or two guys at the end that looked at me and we left. They said, hey, thank you for coming. I understand some things you're saying. You know what I mean? It's just, but they're sitting doing the stupid things, reading out of a 12-step book. Craziness, you know?
They don't know what they're doing. Hang on, Larry. Let somebody else jump in. Go ahead. Somebody else. Jeff. Go, Jeff, now.
Hey, Coach, Jeff. Jeff, you're revealing Christ. They're just revealing socialism, programs, social work, and stuff this way. They're not revealing Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the 12-step programs, they are simply replacing an addiction on a substance to an addiction on a program. Jesus Christ has no room to work in a 12-step program as the program is designed. The 12-step program is a satanic design program to divert people from Jesus.
You know, Larry, I had somebody say something to me the other day, and I was kind of, I confess to all of you that are watching out there, I deal with great episodes of frustration. And the reason I deal with those episodes of frustration is I, for the life of me, can't figure out why we can't win. I just can't. And, you know, because I go to the streets, some of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And I see the enemy. I see how weak the enemy is. I see the power of their unified stance against all things righteous. And I just think, this is just a small, small minority of people. How are they winning? What, folks, do you think there's more pagans in the world than Christians? Now, hang on. You say, yeah, real Christians. Well, you get my point. The pagans, the witches, are totally, completely unified and focused on what they want to do. They don't fight amongst each other. And one thing, my frustration grows out of the fact that I am the anti-John MacArthur. I always look up and say, well, the reason we're in the mess we're in, John Diamond, is because we're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. And the Bible says that if the salt loses his savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Jesus said, how can you make it salty again? Once it's lost its salt, how can you make it salty again? And so if I have a frustration in this battle that we've been fighting, it's that I can't seem to settle on a strategy. I know what needs to be done. How do we put this team together? It's not what we target or who we target. It isn't any of that. Pick any target. If we all will just push towards that target. Like Jeff just said, excuse me. Those people in that Nazarene church, I've never been there. You think they know what's going on? Excuse me, got the hiccups. You think they know what's going on? That's our team. You're listening to guys like John MacArthur. These people, they'll go feed people donuts. They'll go feed them. They'll go take them shirts and shoes, but they won't do anything. As my mom used to teach, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. They don't do anything at all. We don't do anything at all to reclaim the schools so we don't have to undo the mess the schools teach our kids. John MacArthur would say, stay out of the schools. I say, invade them. John MacArthur says, stay away from the abortion clinics. I say, get more people there. I think he's wrong.
Coach, I talked with that guy at the NAS last night in the parking lot to one of the leaders, and I shared that with him about the abortion clinics in schools. I said, why are these pastors not in? This guy got it. And he's like, listen, will you come back and talk to my pastor? I said, buddy, I will be here tomorrow. It was amazing how he was receptive to it. Now, I didn't want to say.
Let the dead bury the dead. Save your breath. Sorry.
What about the good ones that are in there? That guy, the leader I was talking to in the parking lot,
listen. He ain't going to let you. If you're bringing the truth, that 6-foot icicle ain't going to let you near him.
Hey, that the same Holy Spirit that revealed truth to us is capable of revealing truth to any of them. And unless the Holy Spirit specifically sends you with a message for them, you're wasting your breath, like Coach said. Let the dead bury the dead. If the Holy Spirit tells you to go in and speak something to somebody, then that person's not dead yet. Same Spirit that drew us out from among them can draw them out from among them, and he may use us, and we should be obedient when he does.
Amen.
Don't make your plan to go do it. Let the Spirit make the plan.
Amen.
Well, Dave.
Amen. Yeah, Chad. Who was that, Chad?
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, the reason we can't unite is this why we have 11,000 plus denominations, because we have men forcing their own agenda or going their own way. Mm-hmm. You know, we argue and about the dumbest things, and we give no grace to one another on it. And so we ended up having hard feelings or whatever. We don't forgive. We don't forgive. And so how can we unite the church if we're all trying to hold each other to the line and all this, but all this crazy thing that's going on? Well, we give them so much room. It's just frustrating.
Well, as soon as we find out the crazy stuff's going on, Chad, then we say, well, you know, it's what the Bible says is going to happen. You know, we're in the end time. We brush off, we give every reason in the world why we don't have to get involved.
Well, Coach, that's the reason why you can't get them together, and being a little tongue-in-cheek here, is because you've not yet read the book, How to Herd Cats.
Hey, Coach.
Yes,
Yeah, you know, I think part of the problem here is I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say that I think it's because a lot of us Christians, you know, don't really take God as seriously as we should. When we talk about unity, we slough it off. We really don't get that God takes this very, very seriously.
You mean that God's in a life or death struggle? You mean? I think so.
Yeah.
But Coach, we're in good company. Let's just because I don't want you to be frustrated about this. But James and John were ready to call fire down on somebody. They were walking with the Son of God, and they were ready to divide. And Jesus said, whoa, Listen, if they're not against us, they're for us. And once again, what Chad has said, we get our own agenda. We think only we think that Elvis Presley, not only do we do it our way is the only way. And that's just and that's what I love about you, Coach. You're like, yeah, all right, get in there and make a play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my play. It's your play. Get in there and make a play.
Yes, sir.
Is it that complicated where we are at now? If you went back 40, 50 years, the Christian faith was still dominating in cultural issues. It's only been in the last 50 years that we have gone off the rails. And I think it's the fallenness of mankind. I think it is the sin nature of man.
I agree, Roger. But how many of our Christian leaders today have been taught the doctrine of John MacArthur?
Well, many, wrongly. But I think when we talk about, you know, what can we do to stem the tide, I think we have to understand one thing. The culture we live in is anti-God, actively anti-God. Amen. 50 years ago, it wasn't anti-God. It may have been pacifist God, but it was not anti-God. And so the fallenness of man,
amen, Roger.
The fallenness of man has turned the corner. It is actively against God. And that's now, and the troops that we would like to call into action, their numbers are not real great. I know, Dave, you think the evil numbers are low, but I think the numbers of people to call into battle who really are concerned and care are way less than 50 years ago, way less.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but Robert, Dave, we don't even think we're supposed to fight. That's the issue.
I agree, but we are in an anti-God, anti-Christ culture, active.
Amen.
Hey, Roger, you know, a lot of people use that if they're not against us, they're for us, scripture. Well, that same thing was recorded in another gospel, said if they're not for us, they're against us. And that sounds like those are contradictory statements, but they're not. Each of those statements, when you look at them with pure logic, say one thing. There's two camps, for us and against us. Both of those statements say the same thing.
Amen. Go ahead, John.
No, Dave.
Hey, Coach. I mean, yeah, everything that everybody's saying is absolutely spot on. And you can trace it all back. And that's what the Appeal to Heaven movement's about. Trace it back to the separation of church and state. Up to that point, the government was in the church's corner. There was rating systems that would not have allowed that crap that you showed yesterday, that filth that from that rapper. I mean, that stuff would not have been allowed on the radio, in our schools, on TV. All right. Ever since separation of church and state, when the government basically violated Romans 13 and came out from that divine, now they have turned to the spirit of Antichrist. Now anything good, righteous, holy, and religious is now banned, and moral, ungodly, and evil is now promoted to government. So that's Psalms 2. The kings of this earth have rebelled against God, and then what we have to do is appeal to heaven. The problem and solution is right there in Psalms 2.
Come on, Chad, come on in real quickly.
This thing that he wrote in 1993, that's the game plan for now. Everything that he wrote in there that we shouldn't be doing, that's exactly what. So if you have any questions about where we need to do, you read that, you turn it around.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
The 1920 infiltration of the seminaries and universities is complete. And you have, as a result, you have the John MacArthurs being the senior Christians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I respect him. I respect everything he did, but he was totally in tune, totally, completely wrong, and the chickens have come home to roost.
I'm of the opinion the 1920s infiltration of the seminaries was a plan of Satan using his minions. It was not God's intent to do that.
Hey, folks! Tactical training, sky high, October 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to tell you this right now. Monday morning, there will not be any slots left. You hear what I'm telling you? Get in there. Get registered. John Diamond's going to carry most of the ball for us tomorrow. Yeah, go ahead real quick, Roger. Maybe you didn't want it. J- John's going to carry most of the ball tomorrow. I'll be with you live from someplace in Cheesehead Country, and looking forward to a great weekend. God bless you all. Come on, man. Come on, man. That's what Joe Biden says, isn't it? Come on, man. I'd say the same thing. Come on, man. God bless. See you tomorrow.